ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Open your Bibles, please, with me tonight to Joshua chapter 1. I pick on verses 6 to 8. I title these Success Defined. There is the definition of success from the eyes of God. And we trust God that as we look into this definition tonight, the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with His light. And we will continually understand and walk in the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. Joshua chapter 1, very instructive passage of scripture. But if you and I want to succeed, we need to take heed to this definition, including myself. We are here to live an added value life, a life of success, a life that glorifies God. But we are looking at how God defines success tonight. Joshua chapter 1 from verse 6. It said, "Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." So we need to be strong. We need to be filled with courage. So that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want to start from our byline for this series of teachings. The fact that three things I have asked us to please note as we journey together in the series on spiritual growth. God doesn't have a problem in blessing you and I. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all things are ours in Christ Jesus. So if you have a relationship with God, all things are yours in Christ Jesus. Peter writing, he said, "He has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness." So the things that I've asked us to please take note of as we journey is that, number one, God's word is unchangeable. God's word is ancient. God is consistent. And as we sang earlier on, they are ancient words and they are still true to our day and our age. Second thing is that God's word is irrefutable. It's unquestionable and undeniable. And we saw that from the example of our patriarchs. They heed to the word of God, and that promise of God, God's word, framed their own words. The third thing is that God's word is powerful. In other words, for anyone who wants to apply the word of God to their lives or to their life journey and experiences, God's word is potent and authoritative. God's word can withstand any pressure of life. So I start out tonight looking at our text again, this book of the law, verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1, shall not depart from our mouth, but we shall meditate in it day and night, that we may observe to do according in it all. So when we do this, we will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Job 36 verse 11 says, if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So the frame of reference for the believers in Christ is the word of God. The frame of reference for any believer in Christ is the word of God. The word of God controls our lives. The word of God is the constitution for the believer. The word of God is the pilot's guide for the believer. And if you and I, we grow in the image and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we need to pray, put premium to the word of God. We need to prioritize the word of God. We need to allow the word of God to become the cause. So the frame of reference for every believer in Christ is the word of God. Why is that so? Everything you and I need in life can be found in God's holy written word. Everything. He has given us, 2 Peter 1:3, all things that pertains to life and godliness. Sometimes we have things happening around us in this, our life journey, that sometimes they overwhelm us. But the word of God is the frame of reference for the believers in Christ. If you're talking about your relationship, it's the word of God. If you're talking about your career growth and development, it is the word of God. If you're talking about your family, running your family, becoming a responsible parent, becoming a responsible citizen of any society, the frame of reference for you and I is the word. To grow, you want to know God the more. You want to walk with Him. You want His life to find expression in your own life. Your frame of reference is the word of God. But if you find out, which is the situation, there is the word of God as the written word of God, but there is also an aspect of the word of God applying to the situation of our lives. That's what we call Rhema, the spoken word, the word that we have allowed to lift or to leave the pages of the Bible that is now applicable to our everyday life. If we must grow up, which God expects all of us to grow, we must take advantage of everything that has been freely given to us in Christ Jesus. All things are ours in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. That is the statement of inevitable. It must come to pass. But if we refuse to take advantage of this, then the devil can take advantage of us and then put us in ignorance. And like they say, ignorance is deadly and costly. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Proverbs 19, 2. He said, also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sees who hastens his feet. So, the word of God controls our life. The word of God disciplines us. And if we will enjoy the benefit of the word of God, we cannot afford to be ignorant. All things are ours in Christ Jesus. God hasn't changed his mind concerning that. But in reality, for it to be ours, we must be filled with the knowledge of what Jesus Christ, His Son, has done for us in redemption. We must be filled with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has a present-day ministry to help us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to guide us into the fullness of the blessings of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, talking about us paying attention to the word of God so that the devil does not take advantage of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul was expressing his fear for the Corinthians believer, which I still believe is relevant to us today. He says here, he said, but I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be that is in Christ. It is possible for us to be deceived if we are ignorant of the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So tonight, I like to encourage us that it is what we do with the word of God that will determine our success or failure in life. Every human being loves to shift blame. Sometimes, some people blame their parents, they blame the government and their environment. Some other people, it's very easy to blame other people. Some blame their teachers, some blame their stewards, some blame the system in the country that they live in. Some even, which is the most common thing. A lot of the time, we blame the devil for the things that the devil is not even doing in people's lives. So, it's very easy to shift blame or responsibility to people, to structures, to government. Like someone joked about this, that it will interest us that when invariably we pass on into our eternity, we will discover that most of the things we've had people said about the devil were actually not true. The devil is not omnipresent. So it cannot be everywhere at the same time. That's only God who feeds all things. So most of the times, the things that we blame the devil for is as a result of the ignorance on the part of the believers in Christ. So God's word is life and health to all our lives. God's word is life, is health to all of us when we incline our ear to it, when we apply it to our lives, when we make up our minds to reap the benefit of all things that are ours in Christ Jesus. We all have to continually give ears to God's word. It's not something that we do once in a while. And that's why we preach every time. We preach every day. We preach every week. If you get back home or you are already at home tonight, you probably, if you have a Christian network TV, you probably still hear the word of God. Why? Why do we preach? So that we can apply or incline our ears to God's saying. So that it can fill our heart. Just like Joshua encouraged, the book of the Lord must not depart from our eyes. But we meditate it, we hug on it, we consider it there and night. And then we observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's when we consistently apply our hearts, our lives, ourselves to the word of God. That's when we can reap the benefit, which is good success defined. So you and I must continually give ears to God's word. I've adopted a discipline. Sometimes you are tired or you are busy for one thing or the other. So I've adopted using my traveling time to hear more than ever before, hear the word of God. As a matter of fact, when I wake up in the morning, after going through my time of communion with God, while I'm getting ready to go to the office, I allow, I mean, some of us, we have all these hundreds phone, high phone, which accommodate or has accommodated you version. And then I allow the word of God to be read by someone into my hearing. So why am I saying that to you? So that your mind can be filled with the word of God consistently until you as a believer open yourself to the word of God that way, where you consistently hear it day and night. The word may not necessarily profit you to that full. We must be ready to grow up. And giving yourself to one thing consistently and continually takes discipline. We can ask the athletes, we can ask the footballers, we can ask the music people or ministers or musicians. There is an aspect that, hey, consistent practice, consistent application, we make a professional out of you. The same way, when you and I become the word addict, we are opening ourselves to the full benefits of the word of God. I mean, God has given us his word to prosper us. We don't need the word of God when we get to heaven. We will see him as he is. We don't need health when we get to heaven because there is no sickness there. We don't need prosperity when we get to heaven. He lives. His nature is prosperity. His nature is wealth. So we will see him as he is. So while we are here, it's when we need to reap the benefit. All things are ours in Christ Jesus. He said, blessed be God, Ephesians 1:3, who has not some all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you and I, for us not to deprive ourselves of the blessings, while we are here, we need to grow and apply ourselves to the word of God. In Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 11, verses 22 all through to 24. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have the God kind of faith. If you and I will reap the blessings, we must develop that God kind of faith. And Romans chapter 4 talks about this kind of be not, so they were. We must have a new paradigm. We can't see things the way it is in the natural world. The things that we see in the natural world are prone to change, but there are eternal things. So if you need to apply that word, you must be able to see differently. It's true, the symptoms may be on your physical body, but seeing differently is focusing our eyes on the Master, the word of God, who says, by his stripes you are healed. So in Mark 11, he said, have that God kind of faith. Say, for surely I say to you, whoever says, so you must see differently for you to be able to say. Your confession is as a result of what you have seen in your heart. If you have seen it clearly in your heart, it will inform your words and it will inform your action. It says, you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you will not doubt things which you say will be done. You will have whatever you say. So the word of God is given to us to produce results in our lives. And that's why you and I must gaze on this word, like Joshua encouraged, day and night. You may ask me why. Number one, the world system is under the limitation orchestrated by Satan. Satan is the god of this world. So this war system, Adam sold out. I said this on Sunday. And then there is a time, it's time of lease. We soon expire. We preach the gospel today so that the gospel will be preached in all nations. And so that time of judgment, final judgment may come. So the world system is under that curse or limitation. Satan has become the god of this system. And then for the believer in Christ, because we are new creation in Christ Jesus, he will do everything possible to put in stumbling in our lives. But we must be able to resist him steadfastly with our faith. And it's faith in the word of God. Not faith in our ability, not faith in our strength, not faith even in our sense knowledge, which the Bible refers to as carnality, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can taste, what we can touch. No, we must be able to see differently beyond that. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to see by teaching us the mystery behind this word. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. We must understand that we are in a war. And it's just the devil who wants to distract us. And that's why he said, looking unto Jesus. So, keeping the word in our heart. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, be sober. In other words, be alert. Be spiritually alert. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. It's just compared to a roaring lion. But he's smart enough to deceive whoever is ignorant in the word of God. He says, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible gives us the clear antidote. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we need to fight this war. It's a fight of faith with the word of God. So in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible gives us four capsules there. It says, this book of the law, that stands for information. This every promise of God that are yes and amen. So we need to glean on it. We need to consistently look at it. Day and night. It must enter your heart. When it enters your heart, it has entered your life for manifestation. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's number one. Information. When I say the word of God is the frame of reference for the believer in Christ, in other words, it controls our action. It informs our decisions. So this book of the Lord, this book of the law, it didn't say book of philosophy. It didn't say sense knowledge. No, the book of the law, which is the word of God, will not depart. So number one, information. Number two, he said, you shall meditate in it. So meditation. You shall consider it. You shall, that word meditation, maybe one of these days we will just look at it, because when we say meditation today, a lot of the time religion and the means of assessing their own gods. No, this meditation is the right of every believer. You pause. The word used that, the psalmist used that word. It says Selah. In other words, pause and think meditatively. Pause and reflect on this. So, for example, Isaiah 53:4, he was wounded. I have symptoms of sickness in my body. I'm not saying that in reality, I don't have any. But assuming I have. So, when I'm meditating, I get those scriptures. If it's an area of health, this is what we encourage. Get scriptures that covers your case. Get it. It might be in area of healing. It might be in area of living victorious life. It might be in area of wealth, living above poverty or lack or inadequacy. Just get scriptures that covers your case. It might be relationship. There are scriptures there. It might be just the use of your mouth. There are scriptures there. It might be just
hang scripture, just run references on it, and then begin to read it to yourself. That's how to meditate. You read it to yourself, and then you look closely. You roll it over in your mind. You chew the cud of it. And as you do that consistently, the Bible says day and night, he said, something will drop. It will drop. You will find it. There is eureka around that. He said, there is a reward that comes when you find it. He said, the expectations of the righteous shall not be cut off. So the second thing we must do, apart from gathering the information, is meditation. Then he said, you will observe to do. Which, the third thing, observation. You will observe to do. You will find that there are examples in the scriptures that people who have walked with God. You will also find living example around you. Observation. Some things are taught, but majority of spiritual things, they are actually caught. You must observe all that is written here. What do you do with the word of God? Number one, you read it. That's just first level. The other level is that you study it. You don't, when you are studying, for example, you have many references. When you are studying this Joshua 1:8, if I want to study it, I probably read it in different translations. I probably get dictionary to understand the use and the meaning of words. So, my brothers, my sisters, you're watching us tonight. To apply yourself to the word of God, it is work. That's what James said. It is work. You have to do it consistently because that is your life. Jeremiah 42 verses 5 and 6. He said, it's not just a fable. This is your very life. Jesus said the word, John 6:63, that I speak to you, they are spirit. In other words, they have potency. It's a spiritual force. And then it has the capacity to create. He said they are spirit and they are life. So observation, have living example. You ask questions from people. You can even, you might have, when you are on that meditation and observation, you may come across books in line with what you are studying. You observe to do. You don't observe to put on the shelf. So what do you do with the word of God? You read it, you study it, and then you act on it, you practice it, you obey it. It's of no use if you just read the word of God and do nothing about it. The Bible referred to that kind of action in James. It said it's like a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror. Immediately he leaves that spot, he forgets the manner of man that he is. And most of the time for the believers in Christ, we forget who we are. And so we are tamed in ignorance to the primary elements of this world. We are carnal. We become carnal. We just reduce our faith to what we can see, what we can touch, what we can smell, what we can taste. But life in the spirit is much more than that. We must of the invisible. He said the things which are seen. So both are actually seen. The natural things are seen, but the spiritual things are also seen. So observation, and he said, you will observe to do, Joshua 1:8, according to all that is written therein. He said, for then it is after you gather the information, after you meditate, after you observe to do, that's when you will find the good success. That's when the word is after you have done that, that the word of God becomes an active word in your life. And that's the area you will obey the word. You will obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. You will have to, when you have to make the decision, the Holy Spirit prompts your heart from the frame of reference that you have. In the natural world, we use the word for maybe computer. We say garbage in, garbage out. The truth is that if you don't take time to take the word of God in, when life, your strength will be too small to withhold it. And the devil understands that. That's why he will do everything possible to distract us and change our eyes from the word of God. So four things there from Joshua 1. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. Information. So you will meditate on it day and night, meditation. You will observe to do according to all that is written therein, observation. And then, he said, then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you shall have good success. So you can put the word obedience or action. Being an action. And faith is action. I mean, you hear the word, you put the word to practice. If you don't put the word to practice, it will not prosper you. It will not profit you. In closing tonight, Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22, the same thing Joshua 1:8 emphasized. So we have another witness in Proverbs chapter 4 to 22. It's another witness. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22, it says, my son, give attention to my word. So information again. Secondly, it said, incline your ears to my saying. That's meditation. Incline. You know, the Bible says God has spoken once, twice have I heard. So you hear with your outer ear, you hear we also with your inner ear. He said, do not let them depart from your eyes. Observation. He said, keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, when you are gleaning in on the word of God, you are gleaning it to obey. You are not gleaning it as a weapon to just utilize to your lust or whatever. No, you are gleaning it to obey God. Your life must please God. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the word of God is life and health to the believer. So he says, attend to my word. I'm not trying to belittle prayer. If you read those Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, it didn't say pray. So I'm not belittling. Prayer is necessary, but until the word enters you, you will just be scratching prayer points out of the will of God. And God doesn't answer your prayer. He answers his own prayer. That's why he says in 1 John 5:14, he said, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? His word is his will. His word is his will. So we must put premium on the word of God, even for prayer to be effective. In Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, read it again. It includes anything in your life as a believer, you can't substitute it. It's the word. You have to put premium to it. And hey, to do the work of the word is work. Is work. And you must come to that terms. Otherwise, you will be tossed away by every wind of doctrine. Some people can't even pray on their own. They are looking for people to pray for them. No, the believer in Christ must be able to stand in God, stand in the word of God, and then be willing to receive the fullness of the blessings of the Spirit. And the word of God puts us on a right pedestal. So, it says again to us from Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, four words there. It said, attend. Second word, incline. Third word, do not let them depart. Fourth word, keep them in your heart. So, the success is defined from God's perspective. Meditation, meditation, observation, and then obedience. Or you can say, attend, incline, not depart, keep in the heart. So, our success, when we are saying this to the believer in Christ, I said the believer in Christ. So, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you may not be able to take advantage of that. The devil may keep you in ignorance. But I'm also saying to the believers in Christ tonight, who has not paid attention to God's word, that you can't go far in your growth, in your development. You can't take advantage of those things that the Spirit of God or Christ Jesus has been made free to you. You can't take advantage. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man, the things God has prepared. But you need to know what is in the will. I mean, in the natural, if your dad leaves an inheritance for you, you want to find out what is in that will. What is in the will? And what is in this will? Tonight, again, reminding you, all things are yours in Christ Jesus. It's in the will. Salvation is yours. Deliverance is yours. Victory is yours. So our success as believer is defined and it's predictable. I mean, in my little experience now, in closing, I found out that sometimes evil hands are not laid on people for them to be healed. If somebody can just take in the word of God, it becomes health to them and life to their flesh. The same way, sometimes we have problems in life when we have scriptures that cover that area. As we meditate on the scripture, as we brood on the scripture, just like the natural hen, we brood over eggs to be able to hatch new chick. Over time, we just find out that symptoms are gone. I mean, that kind of living life at that lower level of life will be gone. Because why? The entrance of his word gives light and gives understanding. People, the word of God always works. We preach and teach this word so that you and I can incline your ears to his saying. There are many voices in the world. There are many voices. There are many contrary voices to the word of God. But as believers in Christ, our own paradigm is what David said in Psalm 138 verse 2, that even God himself, he has exalted his word above his name. He magnifies it. So his word is critical to us. And in Numbers 23 verse 19, he said, he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should change his mind. These words are written. They are written for us. They are written for our profiting. They are written for our admonition. They are written for us so that we not only profit from it, but our lives, the evidence of that prophecy, we appear to all and we can become blessing to other people. In Matthew 24, verse 35, it said, this word will not go unfulfilled. So when we apply ourselves to it, when we follow his own definition of success, Isaiah 55, 11 is activated. He says, so shall my... He said, I will watch over my word. That's Jeremiah 1, 12. But he says, so shall my word that has gone out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose whereto I have sent it. And tonight we send forth the word of God to you. Psalm 107, verse 20 said, he sent forth his word. We sent it forth for healing, for deliverance, for restoration in your family, for restoration in your business. We sent the word of God to you tonight that the word will prosper you. This book of the Lord, as you apply yourself to the information, to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus and everything that he has done for you, the word will prosper you. The word will enlarge you. The word will nourish you. The word will promote you. And in your life, peradventure, there be anyone out there tonight experiencing any challenge. Acts 19:20 over your world life. So mightily grows the word and prevail in every situation. You will walk continually in health, in healing, and in life. In Jesus' name. Father, we say thank you tonight. Peradventure, there's someone out there watching or listening who don't have a personal relationship with you. Thank you for accepting them in the beloved. And if you're such a person, just ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, become my Lord, King, and Savior, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Father, we thank you for this beautiful exchange service tonight. Thank you for everyone who is under the influence of this service and those who will watch later. Thank you because your word will prosper us. And in this day where everything is changing around us, your word will build stability into our lives. We give you all the praise and glory
For we have preached your word, and we thank you for the blessing of this word tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Have a lovely day.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,